Good morning. Good to be with you this morning to worship, to sing, to laugh. We're going to do some wild dancing during time as children. Marissa's going to help us. Oh, it's going to be good. Thanks for being here for worship, whether you're with us in the space or worshiping with us online. We're glad you're here. I invite you all to take note of your connection card inside your bulletin. That's for all of us to fill out, whether we're visiting for the first time or have been here for decades. We invite you to fill that out and place it in the offering plate as it comes by later in worship. You'll see on the backside, the first opportunity for a next step is to express gratitude to someone this week. I invite you all to check that box. Want to draw your attention to the Christmas Eve services that you've been hearing about that have been in our communications, but want to just name again, we have two services, one at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, intergenerational, family-friendly, before it's dark, lasts about 45 minutes. The children's choir will be singing. We are grateful to Charlie and Michelle for getting the children's choir ready for that. And then at 7:30, we have our long tradition, 50 years of lessons and carols, happening. The adult sanctuary choir has been preparing for that. Thank you, Bonnie and Shanae. We hope that you will come for one or both of those services as we celebrate this mysterious and wonderful love born among us. So, Christmas Eve services, 4 o'clock and 7:30. Rick.
Good morning. Let me add my welcome. I'm Rick Mixon, the transitional pastor here at First Baptist Church Ann Arbor. Delighted to have you in the sanctuary, as well as those who are watching online this morning. On a cold day, there's a cold, rainy day, there's a warm welcome here at First Baptist. Delighted to have you. We have a couple of things still on our Advent calendar this morning. After worship, we're going to do some reading of some Advent poetry. Rolf and Tony and I have been working on a collection of some really interesting and lovely Advent poetry, so come and share that with us downstairs in the Memorial Lounge after worship. And then next Sunday after worship, we'll be having a carol sing here in the sanctuary led by Bonnie and Shanae. So you grab your refreshments after church and come upstairs. Come right back for the carol sing here in the sanctuary. Greetings.
Praise the Holy One. Praises be to you in earth's sanctuary. Praise be to you in heaven. Praise the mighty works of love. Praise the glory and extol the greatness of love divine. Give praise with trumpets.
Give praise with
timbrel and dance.
Give praise with strings and reed.
Give praise with booming drums.
Give praise with crashing cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Holy One with their very lives.
May they be so now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
stand in body or spirit. Holy One, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, it gets easier to get caught up in the excitement and bustle around us. Today, we joyfully gather together to worship you. Help us to set aside our planning and our fretting, our wish list and our to-do list, so that we may focus on you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, that we might hear your voice speaking to us. Amen.
Lit the first two candles, one for hope and one for peace. Today we light the third candle, the candle of joy. This should be the easy one, because joy is all around us, in the children, the lights, the music, the gathering together. But how often do we let our preparations or our memories push joy to the side? Joy is like an underground spring that wells up within us, but joy is also a choice, an attitude. Like a muscle, it needs to be exercised. So today we open ourselves to joy, trusting that God has already planted it in us. All we need to do is give it care and offer it to share.
God, we open ourselves to you, trusting that this is how you made us.
I invite you to come up to the front. Come on up here. Friends, it's good to be with you for this day where we're thinking about joy. We've been thinking about homes and what makes a home. We talked about having this be a church home that has peace and hope. And we talked about our bodies, our hearts, our minds being a place that's a that's home for peace. Remember we did this? Peace. And today we're going to think about joy. And we just heard this line that joy can be so contagious, we just can't help but to contain it. We can't contain joy. It just comes out of us, and it can be contagious. So when I was thinking about this all week, how do we celebrate and honor and show this joy? It popped into my mind. When we go to church camp, some of us that are old enough, and when we sing a song that Marissa taught me, that she learned from Pastor Stacy, that's all about joy, and it uses our bodies. Are you ready? Are you ready to sing the song? So Marissa's going to come up, and she's going to teach us this song, and just wait, you'll see that the feeling of joy is so in us, we can't help but to sing and move and show it, because joy is in us too. You're going to hear a part that I've got joy down in my heart, which means joy is a part of us. We are a home for joy. Okay, so Marissa, I'm going to give you my microphone, and we can stand up. And teenagers and adults, you'll see in a little bit, you'll want to stand up too, but you can start sitting, but we're all going to start standing up. Can you stand up? All right. We're ready for you, Marissa.
Mm-hmm. I've got joy down in my heart. Deep, deep down in my heart, spell it, J-O-Y, down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Jesus put it there, and nothing can destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Do you think we can try it faster?
Oh, wait, maybe we can do that for today.
Okay. Deep, deep down in our hearts. And then we spell it. You guys know how to spell joy? J-O-Y, down in my heart. Deep, deep down in my heart. And then we say, Jesus put it there, and nothing can destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. And this is where your karate kick comes out. Huh. Can you do your best karate kick? Let's go. Let's find a space. Everyone spread out. Ready? And nothing can destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. And then we repeat the same part from the beginning. I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. All right. Now I think we can do it all together, yeah? Okay, ready? Everyone practice your karate kick. Okay, ready? I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Spell it, J-O-Y, down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Jesus put it there, and nothing can destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. You think we can go a little bit faster? Okay. Ready? I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Spell it, J-O-Y, down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Jesus put it there, and nothing can destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. Ha! I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart.
Thank you.
recover from all that joy to lead us in prayer this morning. Pray with me. Come, Key of David. Come into this world and break it open for your love. Come into this world and remove the violence from our hearts. Take the weapons from our hands and open our arms to embrace one another. Take the malice from our hearts and replace it with your unconditional, undying love. Take the fear from our minds and replace it with the assurance that your presence is always with us. Remove the barriers that we have built up that keep us separated from one another. Restore the bridges we have torn down that once joined us together. Come, Jesus Christ, remind us that in you we are one people, one body, one beloved community. O come, blessed dayspring, remind us that in you all our hope is found. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. And in your coming we pray for healing, for comfort, for peace, and hope and joy. And we lift up names that are dear to us, praying that you would be active in these lives. Bob Reynolds, Rob Snyder, Roberta Howes, Mervyn Newcart, Esther Floyd, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Milburn, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, John Rowe, and Faye Key. As we lift these names to you, we lift up also the prayers that are hidden this morning in our hearts, but that you are fully aware of. Trust. Believe. Hope. Endure. Know. Forgive. Restore. Love. Love. Above all, love, for what else is there that we can do? We are forgiven when we set out to do right, to love justice and mercy, and to go forth humbly with God. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel will come even to us. And now we lift this prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
When crowds of people came out for baptism because it was the popular thing to do, John exploded.
Brood of snake! What do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to deflect God's judgment? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a child of Abraham is neither here nor there. Children of Abraham are a dime a dozen. God can make children from stones if he wants. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire.
The crowd asked him, "Then what are we supposed to do?"
"Well, if you have two coats, give one away. Do the same with your food."
Tax men also came to be baptized and said, "Teacher, what should we do?"
He told them, "No more extortion. Collect only what is required by law."
Soldiers asked him, "What should we do?"
"No shakedowns, no blackmail, and be content with your rations."
The interest of the people by now was building. They were all beginning to wonder, could this John be the Messiah? But John intervened.
"I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I am a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom fire. A fire of the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false he'll put out with the trash to be burned."
There was a lot more of this. Words that gave strength to the people. Words that put heart in them. The message.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Rather than sermon prayer this morning, I'm going to read these words from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, which we'll see have relevance in the sermon. Paul writes to the church of Philippi, "Rejoice in God always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Holy One is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Merry Christmas, you brood of vipers. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice, you nest of snakes. Hardly the holiday greeting you were expecting this morning, or I imagine wanted to hear. Is this some sepulchral spirit of Christmas past trying to scare old Scrooge into changing his wicked ways? Is God mad as hell and not willing to take it anymore? Has this prophet gone mad on locusts and wild honey, giving the business to those who have made all this effort to come out to hear him? Is this the text we really want to read on Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday supposedly focused on joy? Yet here it is, courtesy of the committee that sets the lectionary. It would be easier to work with Paul's exhortation of the Philippians to rejoice as the focus text for today. So maybe I should apologize in advance for straying into the wilderness with John. As we've wrestled the past 2 weeks with the stark contrast between anxieties, fears, and terrors of the world in which we live and the promises of hope and peace, it somehow seems disingenuous to leap directly into joy today. Still, we ought to get to rejoicing before we're done. The truth is, my own feelings for you as a community are much closer to Paul's for the Philippians than John's for the crowd that's gathered at the Jordan. In fact, you may have observed that I am not John the Baptist. Instead, I am Rick the Baptist. I confess a fascination with John's exhortation, but I do not see you as a brood of vipers or a nest of snakes. You may also have noted that most of the time, I talk about we and us rather than you or I. I assume that whatever it is you wrestle with, I do as well. That the challenges of my life are not altogether different from the challenges in yours. And certainly we inhabit the same planet, holding its difficulties and its possibilities in common. John feels free to shake his finger at those who come to hear him, perhaps as an ascetic and a prophet promised of God to be the proclaimer of the coming of the Messiah. He's earned that right. But I feel no more worthy of untying John's sandals than he did those of Jesus. Okay, now that we've cleared that up, I wonder how we can connect John's words of repentance to Paul's words of affirmation and joy on this day. The consensus among the reflections I consulted is that joy comes with righteousness, not the kind of perfectionism too often associated with righteousness, but with setting your heart right with God and finding right relationship with all of creation. Both John and Paul affirmed this, each in his own way. John's overheated rhetoric is full of hyperbole. He shouts to get the attention of the crowd and to hold it. Perhaps that's what you have to do when you're preaching outdoors without the aid of amplification. But the older I get, the less I like people shouting at me. But note, the people are flocking to the Jordan to hear John, walking all the way from Jerusalem and the surrounding territory to the Jordan in the blazing sun, just to be called names and chastised. How many of us would make the same effort? Right, I didn't think we'd be organizing a field trip anytime soon. Still, look at the crowds being drawn to practitioners of overblown proclamation in our own time. How do you explain the appeal of many of our recent candidates for political office? Why are people drawn to the bad news when it's hurled at them? How many show up because it's the popular thing to do? I know John the Baptist doesn't belong in the same category with those dominating our current political landscape, nor do I intend to do a depth analysis of the psychological appeal of negative words. Suffice it to say, humans often tend to be fascinated, even obsessed with bad news. Just flip on your television for the daily broadcast. Or check out what's trending on social media. But once John has their attention, he has something more to say, something that lowers the heights and lifts the depths and makes the rough places smooth. He may not articulate it the way Jesus or Paul will, but he too has a vision of God's beloved community. He sees the possibility of it coming on earth, and he longs for that coming. Maybe his rhetoric is over the top, but joy comes in the fulfillment of such longing. John has come to proclaim it so. What John knows, however, is what we all know somewhere deep inside. In order for the beloved community to become real, some things have got to change. When he shouts repent, he's not urging people to writhe around in sackcloth and ashes, rueing their wrongdoing and pleading for mercy at the hands of an angry God. He's urging people to get with the program, turn things around. God's beloved community will come through our own practice of justice and equity, of peace and love, of compassion and care. Repentance is not meant to be the burden of self-flagellation and striving for perfection. Repentance is the joy of living in right relationship to God, to our neighbor, to all creation, even to oneself. To their credit, the crowd gathered around John, at least some of them, don't run in terror or turn their backs in disgust. They get the picture enough to hang in with him. They see good news in what he's proclaiming, and they want to tease it out. Well, what must we do, John? What must we do to be saved? What must we do to know health and wholeness? What must we do to experience real joy in our difficult lives and in our troubled world? What must we do, John? And John is ready for them. He shows compassion for those that turn to him in much the same way that Jesus will. The answers are simple and challenging, if it was too easy, it really wouldn't be satisfying, would it? Share, he says. Share. That simple message that Some of you who have parented try to teach your little ones. Share. Share, he says. Practice fair trade. Be honest in your dealings. In short, look to right living, the living that links to right relationships. Another way to put it, love God with your whole being and your neighbor as yourself. If you're living your relationships are rooted in love, you will certainly see that joy bursts forth. It's like the old song sings, since love is Lord of heaven and earth, when I recognize it and when I embrace it as my way of life, then how can I keep from singing? Bruce Epperly writes of Luke's account of the Baptist, what is central to John's speech is not the harshness of his language, indeed his inflammatory rhetoric, but the possibility that we can change our lives. He says we can let go of injustice, materialism, consumerism, and inequality to become citizens of a realm of freedom, love, and abundance. God's beloved community. He concludes, John always points to Jesus' messianic age. His refining fires temper the dross of our lives to make our lives something of beauty and love and prepare us to meet the coming Christ. The good news is that when we change our lives, we open to a wellspring of new possibilities for ourselves and for our communities. And joy, joy, friends, bursts forth. In Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he's saying something similar to what John said, but in a gentler tone. Paul is also urging his friends to get with the program and to stick with it. He's concerned with right living, the sort of living that brings in God's beloved community. He urges his friends in Philippi, let your gentleness, your generosity, your magnanimity, your compassion, your Christ-likeness, let those be known to everyone. Do not worry about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And joy bursts forth. How can it not if we live like that? Rejoice, repent. They're related more than we had thought. As another old Quaker song sings, to turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right. Or perhaps it is in our coming round right that we find our delight, that joy bursts forth. In a contemporary story of repentance, of making an about face, and rejoicing that may speak more to us than John's preaching on the snake pit, Philip Campbell tells of his grandmother, who late in life left her longtime congregation to join another. When questioned as to this surprising move, she said, she liked it there because of the positive message she received. For the first time in her life, she felt God's loving presence. God wants me to be happy, she said. I never knew that before. I thought church was about keeping me from doing what I was not supposed to do. And I never felt like I was good enough. Late in life, Campbell says, my grandmother heard a word of God's grace and experienced a joy she had never known before. She began to heed Paul's instruction to the church in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. God wants us to be happy, to know joy and right living, to find the wonder, the grace, the healing of the beloved community. Yes, there's work to be done. Yes, times can be tough and the way hard. Yes, sometimes God seems far away and hope wanes. But then a voice is heard crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Holy One. All creation shall see the salvation of God. The beloved community will be known on earth as in heaven. We will see Emmanuel, God, with us. And lo, in the midst of it all, joy bursts forth." Amen. Joyfully, with praise and hope, we bring our gifts today to you, gentle God, praying that we would enable others to draw all they need from the deep wells of your healing, of your grace, of your peace. Ushers may come. Gracious God, you have loved us and blessed us beyond our comprehension. This offering is a humble portion which we desire to give back to you. We pray that you will use these gifts to bless others, that they may know your love as we do. Amen. And now I invite you to greet one another with the peace and the joy of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Rejoice in God always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Holy One is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.